Chapter 15. At first I slept deeply and peacefully, but then it felt like my body was suddenly moving somehow, and every step I took was entirely out of my control. I was aware deep in my mind that I was asleep, but I also knew there was some kind of force trying to lure me into a different world, vision or dream. Even in the deepness of my subconscious, I realized it was hard to tell the difference between the three. I had been pulled into so many different existences, it was beginning to feel like normalcy. Then, as I drifted deeper into this unusual realm of sleep, I could feel a sudden and strange dream world slowly coming to life around me. At first, everything was pitch black, but vibrant colors began to appear out of nowhere. Then I thought I spotted a wash of various reds, oranges, and other deep purple hues growing more transparent and brighter in the far distance. As the vision grew clearer, I realized I was in the middle of a vast emerald field where a deep sunrise was lazily spreading across the misty horizon. I stood there, and even in my deep slumber I could feel the crisp wind brush against my naked skin and seep into my bones. I remained standing there in dazed confusion and gazed upon the rising blood-orange sun, and then I thought I could hear the chorus of a deep, dark melody humming in the back of my head. It was a peaceful, yet hauntingly beautiful sound, and one I would not soon forget. As I wondered where I was, the scent of blood mingled with dying roses blew through the sharp air, and I could feel another presence lurking behind my back and watching me with attentive eyes. "I can feel you," I whispered, and puffs of silver mist left my lips as I spoke. "Is that you, Samara? Or is it the dark-haired beauty from my dreams? At times you both radiate a similar energy."
"It is me,"
the woman from the painting said.
"Turn to face me, Cole. I bear a grave warning for you."
I slowly did as she asked, and when my eyes fell upon that beautiful and familiar face, a foreboding and chilling feeling swept through my entire body. There she stood, barefoot in the middle of the dew-covered field, with her long raven hair and blood-red lips. It was the nameless woman from my dreams. On this misty and dreamy morning, she wore a long, sheer white gown with specks of dark blood speckled upon her dress and splattered against her ivory skin. Her long black hair was loose and tumbled over her shoulders like a river of ink, and as she stared upon me, her pale blue eyes were narrowed and glassy. Usually, under the direst of circumstances, her face and voice brought me a dark, peaceful serenity, but now, all I could feel was her fear and anguish. Or more specifically, I could sense her fear for my life. And as she stared hard into my eyes, a deeper chill crept down my spine. Her beautiful gaze quickly made me realize I could feel her agony like it was my own. And at that moment, I was deeply concerned.
"Cole,"
the woman breathed as she took a step closer toward me and then placed a cold hand upon my cheek.
"You must be wary. You are nearing the Palace of Ice and Fire. It is a beautiful, deadly but terribly holy place, and it can sense your presence."
"Yes, we've seen it," I whispered as I stared deeply into her worried eyes. "I can constantly feel Samara's radiance lingering in the air like the smell of rotting roses that surrounds us here."
"Then you know she will stop at nothing to see you perish in the Lake of Fire,"
the woman warned me with a deep frown.
"From here on out, you must tread carefully and be wise about how you will enter her holy and well-guarded domain."
"I am aware of that. You know me. I have been through many trials and tribulations before. I know when to be hasty and when to be careful."
"Yes, Cole. My faith in you has not faltered,"
she said, and she brushed a strand of black hair out of my eyes.
"And I know deep within my heart it never will. You have proven your capabilities over and over again, but still, I feel like I must warn you about the dangers that await you."
"You have been my guardian, and even if I do not mention it as often as I should, Your presence has saved me countless times before. I owe you my life.
You owe me nothing, my dearest Cole.
The dark-haired beauty reassured me with a forlorn smile.
Now, as you know, you've seen the village of ice soldiers and the bloody lake beyond it. What you've laid your eyes upon is a lake filled with poisonous, fiery holy water, and if you touch it, it will kill you instantly. For Wicca blood flows through your veins and penetrates your cold, black heart.
Understood. I nodded. So, what must we do to cross the Water of Fire?
First, you will have to find a way over the fiery lake,
she said with an ominous glint in her eyes.
It will not be easy, but I know you will find a way. And once you've accomplished this, you must defeat Samara's guards. They are resilient, cunning, and they fight without an ounce of mercy. You will face great danger once you look upon them, and I fear it might be your greatest challenge yet.
Well, we'll fight with every bit of strength we can muster, of course, just as we always do.
That may be true, but you'll also need reinforcements.
The mysterious beauty added, before she placed a finger under my chin and carefully studied my every feature with her sharp blue eyes.
Summon whatever and whoever you can. Even if it is from thousands of realms away, it will take immense power, but I have no doubt you will be able to do this.
I've summoned dragons, shadow doubles, beasts, and other beings to do my unholy bidding and obey my every command, I began in a hesitant voice. But they linger back in Scholomance near the Wendigo Caves and in the secret realm of Revna's village. I've never shadowported something from so far away before. We've never even had a lesson about it.
Yet it can be done,
the mystery woman replied, and I caught a small, hopeful glint in her sky-blue eyes.
I can show you how, but we don't have much time. Samara will be able to sense my presence in your mind. Even if you carry that special pendant with you, it can't stop her from trying to get into your head. It only prevents her from pretending to be me. However, I can sense her turmoil and confusion. I believe you are starting to sway her to our side, but she also resents you for it.
I know, I said with a firm nod. But let's focus on one task at a time. What must I do to create and build an army without Scholomance witches by my side?
Allow me to show you,
the raven-haired woman said, before she placed a cold finger on my forehead. And soon the vast misty green field disappeared from view. My body quickly twisted and turned as we left her world and gently seeped into a new one. It almost felt like shadow porting, yet the sensation was somewhat different. It was smoother, like drifting through a steady river devoid of wild currents and with nothing to block our path or take us over a deadly waterfall. As we moved, my stomach didn't drop or lurch, my head didn't violently spin, and then I found myself lost in a purplish-blue woodland ablaze with color and foreign beauty. When I looked around, I saw the leaves were a wash of deep mauve, light pinks and soft purples. The soil was as black as spiced coffee and littered with small patches of nightshade. Then I looked up, and I spotted a murder of ebony crows with glowing ruby eyes. They were all perched on dark, spine-thin branches, and their beady eyes studied our every move as I followed the raven-haired woman through the trees. A deep, dark melody hung in the icy air as we moved forward, and in my bones I knew there were more than just birds and woodland critters watching our every step. What is this place? It's so gentle, yet I can feel Satan's unwavering presence lingering in the air.
This was one of my favorite places as a young Wicca,
the beautiful woman responded, before she turned over her shoulder to gaze upon me.
I used to come here, barefoot and alone with my familiar, to practice ancient spells for hours.
I see. I bet you were an incredible witch. When will I ever learn more about you, though? It feels like I've known you my entire life, yet I barely know a thing about you.
In time, you will know more,
she said, but this time she didn't turn around to face me.
Just trust me, Cole.
I do.
Good,
she remarked as we strolled onward.
If you want to survive, you're going to have to.
We continued to march forward in silence, and the deeper we ventured through the mysterious woodland, the cooler the air grew. Even in this unusual dream world, I could feel the dark, wet soil seeping through my tough leather boots, and the sensation made my entire body shiver like I was on top of the Dragon's Peak.
"It's not much farther,"
the beautiful woman reassured me, as we brushed past thorny thickets and black and purple trees as tall as castles.
"This dream world may be grand, but our destination isn't too far off."
"Well, what happens if I wake up?" I asked as I followed closely behind. "What if my eyes open before you've taught me whatever it is that I need to know?"
"I promise you they will not. Just stay close and listen to my every command. You may be in a very deep trance, but that does not mean you are safe from all the holy creations in this dream. Even I am not safe here."
"What do you mean?" I asked with an arched eyebrow.
"Again, Cole,"
she said, before she came to a full stop, and then turned around to face me.
"I cannot answer all your questions, but in time you will come to know your destiny. It is all proceeding as planned."
"All right," I said, even though a deep curiosity was tugging at every corner of my dark soul.
"Now,"
she said, with wide, beautiful eyes as she gestured all around her,
"I will teach you what I know. We will begin with ancient incantations that will allow you to summon all types of beasts and creatures to your side, no matter how far away they may be. You may even conjure up beings of your own, but I must warn you, these are not easy tasks to accomplish. This spell has been known to kill even the most powerful of witches, and it must be used wisely."
"I have known such powerful magic before. I've studied several ways of ancient magic."
"Yes, but not like this,"
she countered before she stared up at the pale sun above her.
"Now, as with any spell, I want you to summon the Dark Lord into your heart and will his power to become your own. So I want you to close your eyes and open your mind and soul to Satan, the same way you've done countless times before."
"All right." I did like the beautiful being commanded and closed my eyes without a moment of hesitation, and I soon felt a peculiar sensation wash over my entire body, soul, and mind. I'd never experienced such darkness seeping into my bones like this before, and I could feel the dead earth and everything decaying beneath it. In my ears, I could hear the dying sound of babes being slaughtered in Wicca realms as offerings of unholy sacrifices to the Dark Lord. In my heart, I could feel the deliciously vile presence of my only master, Satan himself. "I feel him," I whispered, and my entire body trembled with excitement. "He's in my heart, and has planted his darkness even deeper in my soul."
"Good,"
the woman from my dreams whispered while my eyes were still tightly shut.
"Now, before we move on to the more challenging magic, we shall begin with something a little simpler. Cole, I want you to think of something great and powerful, something that would aid you in battle and stand by your side to obey your every command. It can be anything of your choosing."
"Anything?" I repeated with a raised eyebrow, but I kept my eyes closed. "Truly?"
"Yes, anything. You can even think of any beast or creature that has aided you in the past. Or what's more, you could even conjure one that has been deadly and vile. All you must do is bring it to life using the dark power of Satan."
I nodded in the mysterious woman's direction before I took a moment to conjure up an idea in my mind. And it didn't take long before I thought of the mighty centaur. To me, it was a deadly but simple creature, and during every encounter we'd had in the past, the beast was our foe. Still, with this woman's help, I could conjure one to fight for us against the holy elders and any other godly beings who dared to go against us. When I was ready, I took a deep breath, opened my eyes, and regarded the woman with a confident stare. "I have an image in my mind. It's of a centaur. So now what must I do?"
"Now, recite the ancient tongue after me. Repeat every word, but be sure to remember every single detail of the centaur. The texture of its skin, the color of its eyes, the hue of its hair. Everything counts.
Understood, I said with a deep nod.
Excellent. Now, this may be slightly painful at first.
She warned me with a spark in her eyes.
But I know you can do it.
I'm accustomed to pain. I shrugged. It's not a foreign feeling to me.
Well, then, are you ready?
Yes, I am.
Be sure not to mispronounce anything, or it will cost us both dearly.
All right, I replied with a confident nod.
Mente nostra, et tenebre vos vires animumque meum corpus.
She chanted as she raised her hands high in the air and gazed upon the pale sun.
Concipeamus concit cupio, facite precepta mea et facitea.
Once her words were complete, I closed my eyes and carefully repeated the incantation. A sudden and fierce wind swept over my entire body, and for some strange reason it brought a smile to my face. Then, as the air grew colder and sharper, I could feel Satan's magnificent power bleed over me like a red river, and every single cell in my body felt like it was sparking with an electrifying spell. I vividly pictured a giant, towering centaur, and as the dark-haired woman instructed, I thought of every detail, such as the beast's magnificent size, dominating control, and unwavering strength. Then I willed the being into existence, and in my mind I commanded it to obey my every order and whim.
Go,
the woman from my dreams said in a soft but proud voice.
Open your eyes and see what you've created.
I quickly did as she softly commanded, and when my eyelids slowly parted open, my mouth hung open in amazement and awe. There stood a tall and muscular centaur right in front of me. His skin was the color of seaweed, his hair was as dark as night, and his eyes were a deep shade of purple that matched the color of the leaves surrounding us. As he stared deeply into my eyes, he remained upright, tall, and proud. But then his unwavering gaze deepened, and he bowed before me like he was awaiting my first command. I am your master, I ordered in a firm voice. Yes, he responded after he raised his head to meet my eyes once more. And I am yours to command, sir. Unholy hell, I whispered as I turned to look back at the gorgeous, dark-haired woman. I didn't know such a thing was possible.
Ma, there are still many more things for you to learn, my beloved Cole. You've just learned one of the simpler yet ancient incantations. Now I want you to try again, but this time think of something even more powerful and more difficult to control.
It didn't take long for me to think of a creature that fits such a description perfectly. I immediately thought of the elders and their beloved ivory serpents. I imagined their glittering snow-white scales, their vibrant snake-like eyes, slender but muscular bodies, and their tails that thrashed through the air like deadly whips. I also pictured their strong, gleaming white and sharp teeth.
Are you ready?
The mysterious woman asked with raised black eyebrows. Yes, I said as I took a deep and steady breath.
Now let's try.
She ordered before she snapped her fingers, and suddenly the centaur completely disappeared from view.
Whatever it is you're picturing, just remember to keep a clear image, as I told you, and then repeat the incantation whenever you're ready.
For a moment I stared deeply into her pale blue eyes, before I closed my own and raised my hands in the air.
Mente nostra, et tenebre vos vires animumque meum corpus,
I said, and there was no quiver or tremble in my voice.
Concipiamus concidit cupio, facite precepta mea et facit ea.
Suddenly the ground shook like the earth would crack right open, and the sky rumbled like a thunderous god was ready to light the world on fire. My body threatened to tremble, but I refused to move an inch as I held my hands up and kept my eyes tightly shut. I could feel the world shifting all around me as I conjured up the beast in my mind, and then suddenly I could feel hot breaths on my face and a deep, resonating growl vibrating through my bones. I felt the earth growing heavier before me, and when the air on my face seemed more carnal and the smell grew incredibly rancid, I knew that a giant serpent was right in front of me, even before I opened my eyes.
Now, open your eyes once more, Cole. By Satan, you've done it.
When my eyelids pried themselves open, the first thing I saw was a pair of vivid, emerald serpentine eyes staring into my soul. I nearly took a step back from the sudden proximity and grandiosity, but I remained where I was and refused to show any ounce of fear, because now I was its master. Bow to me. You belong to me now, and you shall do as I say. At first, the being simply stared at me with wide, curious eyes. But then it took a small step back and lowered its long neck. Its head was low, and its eyes were downcast. But I had done it. I had conjured up a holy creature and commanded it to do my bidding. At that moment, I felt like Satan himself. Then I stared long and hard at the beast I normally loathed, and I actually took the time to admire its every feature. It truly was a magnificent beast, even if it served our holy bastard enemies.
Excellent work, Cole. I hope you know just how truly powerful you are.
I still am learning new things about myself every day, I said as I gazed upon her flawless face.
And you will continue to,
she answered with a half smile.
Now, are you ready for our next lesson? The sun in your world will be rising soon, so we must complete this test as quickly as possible.
All right, I said as confidence and excitement swelled in my heart. I'm ready.
As I said, this task will be challenging, even more so than the previous lesson. You will have to listen very, very closely.
Of course. Tell me what to do and I will do it.
First, like with any other spell, you must open your mind and heart to Satan and allow his power to wash over you like a blood-filled storm. Let his overwhelming glory give you the strength you were born to possess. Feel it all around you, and soon you will be able to summon herds of dragons, packs of bears, loyal shadows, and whatever beings you've tamed and bent to your will.
I closed my eyes and took in a sharp breath of air. A cool breeze whipped around me, and for a moment it felt like I was in the middle of a brutal storm. Then as evil flowed through my veins, and my heart hammered wildly in my chest, I could feel my unholy lord's glory overtaking my senses.
You're ready to utter the spell. I can feel it in the air. Just repeat after me. Ego in vetero producite.
Ego in vetero producite!
I cried out with closed eyes. Suddenly the wind grew more violent, and the suddenness of it all nearly knocked me down. I planted my feet and remained tall and still, and even without opening my eyes, I could feel the world changing and the forest becoming more crowded.
Open your eyes, Cole.
When I did as she commanded, my mouth gawked open as I stared upon thousands of shadow doubles, bears, elk, dragons, and other animals and creatures I had controlled in the past. Holy shit. I did this?
In this realm you did,
the beautiful woman said with a gorgeous grin.
But you still have to test your talents in the waking world.
Before I could say another word, the woman neared me and then placed the tip of her finger against my forehead. And suddenly, everything vanished from view, and I could feel myself tumbling back inside the warm tent, surrounded by several of my women as the familiars stood guard outside. I shot up from the furs, and despite the cold, sweat trickled down my body.
Master?
Faye said in a sleepy voice as she slowly opened her green eyes.
What's wrong?
Before I could answer, Alexander's voice abruptly resounded in my head, and my stomach sank at the tone in his voice.
Carl! The villagers from below, they're coming! Soldiers made of ice and bone, and they're climbing up the dragon's peak!